Welcome to Lake Rising.
I'm Rocky DeStefano, and we are here to help you live and work and play in Lake County, Florida.
I'm Evo and Sue, and we're here to be a positive voice in the county. We're also here to provide a voice in the county for anyone here.
And hey, everybody, I'm Sean Parks. We'll explore the built and natural environments that make Lake County and our region a special place on this planet.
Coming to you from the underground broadcast studio bunker, I'm Larry the K, and the great things that are happening in Lake County, Florida aren't anomalies. This county, this region, our community is on the rise. This is Lake Rising.
We have a great episode tonight. I think we have a local celebrity here in Well, she's not here in our studio because we're trying to do our best to social distance.
But this is really distant, I'll tell you.
Yes, but we have a lot of people joining us tonight. But I wanted to introduce Sherry Lewin, who runs a great organization, a great local nonprofit called Thrive. And she's going to fill us in on everything that Thrive is and aspires to be. She has a lot of plans and a lot of vision for her organization, but it has a lot to do with helping teens learn new things and figure out their way going forward. And she also has two wonderful kids.
And I believe they're here.
All right. They're part of the show.
Yeah, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Discover Lake Ridge Winery, Florida's largest premium winery. Join us for complimentary winery tours and tasting daily. Shop our unique wine shops and enjoy themed festivals each month. You can also purchase our wines in your local supermarket or wine shop.
And we are back. Got to put out some love for the Lake Ridge Winery, right?
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, yes, yes.
We appreciate them as our first sponsor.
Always.
So as Rocky said, we are here. We are here with Sherry. She's a rock star around the community, trying to really help out teens, young adults. And we wanted to ask her, we want to start with the show because, you know, again, we're just people sitting around the table talking about what's great in our community, and Thrive is awesome. So we wanted to...
So what is Thrive?
Well, we're going to have Sherry explain exactly what was her inspiration for Thrive, how it got started. I will tell you just from a personal story with her that knowing her, she is just relentless on this, and it's just very passionate and, I mean, just relentless for the youth. And I love to see that fire and passion.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if Sherry, I was watching her face to see what she thought about being referred to as relentless.
In a good way.
I would
way.
Say, no, in a very good way.
In
she
a very good
is
way.
Passionate about the yes. youth of Lake County.
Yes. Gracious. And when I mean relentless in a very good way. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. All right. So without further ado, we're going to bring Sherry on. And let's just start with that. Let's just, Sherry, how did all this start? How did Thrive? What is it? And how did it all start?
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. And thank you, Larry. Thank you, Rocky. Thank you, Evo, for having us on. I feel like we're among friends here just because we've had a lot of support from many of you that are here in the studio today. Thrive Claremont was a vision of mine that began probably a dozen years ago. At the time, my oldest, what I call my bonus daughter, my stepdaughter was 13, and I had two youngins that were 5 and 7. And I started realizing when she came to live with us full time at 13 that there weren't a lot of resources for teens in the community outside of athletics. And so teens that were looking for a place to fit in where they could be mentored by business leaders or adults that were striving in non-traditional career paths was really difficult to find. At the time, I was pretty embroiled in my own business, so I kind of tucked it in the back of my head. But in 2015, I came to the point where I was stepping off a lot of my business commitments and wanted to really lean into something in the Lake County community. So I, at that time, had my two teens at the ages of 12 and 14. So the timing was just right. My baby is now 17 years old. So we are moving into adulthood for them. But I'm hoping that we can start a legacy with Thrive that will keep teens empowered for years to come. Our mission is empowering teens to succeed. And as all of you sitting in this in the studio know, every person does not need the same things to feel empowered. There's a lot of different formulas, and there's a lot of different formulas for success. I like to say there's so many trails to the top of the mountain that teens need to know that there are more than one way or more than one path. And even if they have to forge their own path, there's many ways to find success in life. Mm. And that's sort of our current that runs all under all of our programs. The teens tonight that are here with me are from our Teen Advisory Council, and that's kind of our secret sauce. We started the Teen Advisory Council in 2016, and I have met personally every single month for 4 years now with anywhere from 8 to 18 teens that have participated in this group, and we run it like a focus group, and I think it's been key to developing programs that teens really embrace. I'll stop there.
Yeah, no, so, and you know, Sherry, I just want to say thank you so much. I'm a bit impartial, you know, I might be a little bit biased because I'm actually on the board of Thrive Claremont.
But you are a board member, that's right.
I am a board member, so I might be a little biased, but as somebody who actually grew up in the South Lake community and you know, went through the school and educational system here, I can tell you that, you know, I was involved in athletics, you know, I had a couple of volunteer opportunities here and there, but I never really had the I guess you could say presence of various business owners who were able to kind of give me opportunities to either volunteer or just to get involved. And I think it's so important for our youth and you know, our teens and our children to get involved and figure out, you know, not necessarily be blind to the world, but kind of just have an understanding of what goes on in day-to-day life regarding small business owners and leaders in the community. So, you know, when Sherry first approached me about her vision and everything, you know, I was hooked. For myself, like I said before, there wasn't really the opportunities for me to do this before I went off to college. So for me, I definitely wanted to get involved as much as possible. And that's why I joined the board of Thrive. And they've got a bunch of stuff coming up. I mean, you know, even with the virus and everything, Sherry and her team and Alicia and everybody have done an excellent job in kind of, you know, adapting and trying to change things up in order to better serve the community and our community leaders and our community teams. So just want to say thank you to Sherry and the rest of the crew who's here. So thank you guys for all you do. And for you teens, you know, stay the course, man. You guys will see it all work out. And there's a lot of stuff coming up this summer and this fall. And there's a lot of stuff to get excited about. So, I mean, Sherry, if you want to go ahead and expand on some of the things that we've got going on this summer, I know pop-ups are going to be a little different. And if you even want to explain what that is, we can start there.
Yeah. I'm going to, we'll let each of the teens talk about a different area of our programming, but just to set the stage for this, because our very first newsletter is going to hit the streets next week. And I was collecting some statistics of our programs. And I just wanted to share this with you because sometimes when I feel like I'm spinning my wheels, right, and we're not making progress in the speed that I'd like to make it, you forget how far you've come. So since we incorporated in 2016, we've had 43 different teens serve on our Teen Advisory Council. We've had attendees at our programs from 7 different schools and homeschoolers. Mm. We've had 1,200 teens attend 25 different events since 2016. We've had 142 adult volunteer instructors at our events. And we've had 42 different local businesses, churches, and government buildings that have hosted us as venues. Mm. So we have truly connected this community with teens in a way that's unprecedented. And so I'm really excited. It makes me excited to see how far we've come and where we're going to go with this. Mm-hmm. So with that, I think the first thing we were going to just tell you a little bit about what the Teen Advisory Council is. Mm-hmm. And I think Seth and Logan, we're going to share a little bit about that. And then if you guys have a question, we can answer those.
Great. You know, I would definitely like to hear the ages of the students that are on the advisory board and maybe what school they go to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. So with us today, we have 3 of our senior females that are all graduating. Congrats. We have my daughter, who was one of our original TAC members when she was in the eighth grade, that's graduating this year. And that's Kendall Lewin. She goes to Southlake High School. We have Julia DeVoe. I don't see you. Oh, I can't see everybody. I have Julia DeVoe is with us, and she's a senior at East Ridge High School. We have Morgan Jones with us. She's a senior at East Ridge High School also. And we have Logan and Seth. Oh my gosh, I don't have your last name in front of me. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to help me.
My name's Logan Moskal. I'm 15. I'm in ninth grade. I've been homeschooled my whole life.
Great.
And his brother Seth is also with us, and he's eighth grade, homeschooled. And then it looks like we had Gavin jump in.
Hey, Gavin.
And Gavin is with Foundation Academy.
Hey, Gavin.
And that's some of the TAC members that are able to join us tonight. And so Seth's going to talk a little bit about the ages of our TAC members and how teens get involved, which is really the core leadership training group. Okay, Seth.
So basically, the Teen Advisory Council applications are accepted twice per year. Each TAC member commits for 6 months at a time, and the opportunity is open to any teen ages 13 through 18 who can meet the time commitment. TAC members earn community service hours while learning about event programming and gaining leadership skills.
Okay. We serve as ambassadors in our communities, gain the opportunity to practice public speaking by presenting to groups, like we are doing here tonight. In addition, TAC members get opportunities to interact with business owners and leaders as part of event planning.
Great.
Awesome. So we started out with our TAC members being a focus group type meeting, and now they've grown into actually sitting next to our adults that are planning our events and taking on some of the planning tasks related to it. Our long-term goal is to train these TAC members to sit on community boards in our community.
Okay. So it's essentially like a first step program. You know, they kind of see how a board is essentially run. They can learn and kind of see the process of how it goes. And if in the future, you know, maybe they're interested in actually getting more involved, they can definitely do that because they have that experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then we're also launching our first newsletter, which is going to be a great piece to give you a complete history of Thrive. That's what we're focusing on, as well as some other features. And I think, Morgan, are you going to talk a little bit about the newsletter?
Yeah. So this month, like Sherry said, we're launching our first community-based newsletter, and it's going to be called 11 and Thrivin'. So this monthly digital publication will feature volunteer opportunities for teens, as well as a mental health column, articles written by teens, and other topics of interest as well. And teens who are interested can gain valuable experiences in planning our newsletter as well as writing articles. So for example, me and Peyton, who was unable to make it tonight, both wrote letters for the upcoming new edition of the Alive In and Thrive In Teen Talk section, especially. I wrote a section called Quarantine, and basically explaining what teenagers are doing during the quarantine, kind of what shows are popular. And I also explained a quick recipe that I tried personally.
Did you write about your sleeping habits?
That is a secret. We don't publicize those. All right. And then I just wrote about a few other things. Like I said, the recipe as well as other shows.
And Peyton's article is going to be really great. She interviewed students from all the high schools that were seniors to see how they're coping with COVID-19, with everything being canceled. So there's some nice quotes from various students from all the different high schools. So what we're finding is that the newsletter is going to be a great outlet for students that want an avenue to get published, but don't have a school newspaper anymore. Many schools are not running newspapers.
Well, yeah, anymore. Jump on the bandwagon, be digital. Very good. How many people are working on that?
So we had three teens that submitted articles for our first issue that we'll make sure you get a copy, Larry, next week. And we've opened it up to teens that are interested. But so far, our TAC members are writing the articles, but we hope to broaden that to any high school student that's interested.
Cool. Mm. Yeah. Maybe they would like to submit to the Lake Rising as well.
I like that idea.
That's actually a great idea.
We're actually, the news leader, the local newspaper, the news leader has asked if they can repurpose some of our teen articles in there. They're going to run them in their paper as well. So that's great.
Awesome. Yeah. We need Ryan. Ryan is our, webmaster?
webmaster.
He's the webmaster and he's celebrating his anniversary tonight. So he
won't be. Yeah. So if you want, we'll move into the programs that we offer that are open to any teens. And the first one I think that we're going to talk about is the adulting series. And my daughter Kendall's going to share a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this fall we held our first teen adulting series, which is meant to help teens make better decisions for their future and just sort of ease that scary transition from high school into adulthood. So our series featured evening workshops that were focused on things like financial literacy and career exploration. So the actual four workshops that we included were How Money Works, Entrepreneurship, Exploring the Trades, and Is College for You? So we really tried to hit all the sectors there, you know, college, trade, school, you know, anything that you could imagine to do with your future. And I attended the entrepreneurship one and I really enjoyed it. We had a panel of local entrepreneurs from around this area, and they all got to share their journey and their experiences, the ups and downs of finding success in their life. And then we got to have little roundtable talks with each of them. So it was a great personal one-on-one talk with some different adult leaders in our community. And that was actually the first time I met Rocky DeStefano, even though I'd heard a lot about him.
So yes, and it really It may have been that I may have tried to hire her that night too, but she remained loyal.
There you go.
She remained loyal to where she works. So.
Where does she work?
I'm not going to say that on air.
Oh, is that a competitor?
No, she may not want me to share.
Oh, I was going to say, does it have something to do with chicken?
No. Oh, no, no.
Rocky, you might want to add a little bit about your experience as one of our instructors in that series.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a great time, to be honest with you. I think anytime anybody's asked to speak, you know, your first thought is, what can I really add? But I was really pleased with the response. It seemed like the people that were in the room were very curious. And I think it was a great discussion and it was wonderful. I learned a lot about the other people that spoke that night too. And it's amazing to me. And what I took out of that night is, everybody has a different path, and that's okay. You really have to find your path. But I was impressed with every one of the roundtables that I was part of. The students were engaged, very intelligent, asked really good questions.
And then we did our first conference to prepare students that were college bound, and we ran it as a pilot program this year. I'm going to have Alicia Kissy, who's our program administrator, just tell you a little bit about that. And then we're going to go on to our main happy program, which is summer pop-ups that we all want to talk about. Sure. So Alicia?
Yes. As Sherry mentioned, Leap into College fell on Leap Day this year, February 29th of 2020. And the conference was a full day conference to support college readiness. It helps students prepare and think about their futures. The sessions included finding your fit, understanding and finding college funding sources. We had some third-party vendors come in and speak about financial aid, how to apply for college, SAT test prep taking courses, staying mentally healthy and well in college, which is something that's really a sought-after topic these days, and then a live student panel where students actually got to hear firsthand from students who are participating in college, got to ask them the questions that you want to know more about, but you don't really have anybody to ask. So we had a live panel for those questions.
And that was an awesome partnership with UCF, University of Central Florida, and Lake Sumter State College. And they provided space for us. We held it at the South Lake campus college there and in the library. So our next step is to try to find grant funding. and run it as a field trip where juniors at all the local high schools could come and attend the conference for the day. Mm. We've had some early discussions with Lake County School Board representatives to try to move to in that direction. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. And then our most popular series is the Summer Pop-Ups. They're about to start up in June. We've got Julia and Kendall are going to share a little more about the Summer Pop-Ups with you.
Great.
So Summer Pop-Ups are definitely our most popular program. For the past three summers, on Tuesday nights in June, Thrive Claremont has provided opportunities for teens to connect with other teens and adult instructors for an activity of their choice, followed by food and music. Activities range from skateboarding to cake decorating to public speaking. With over two dozen different activities to choose from, the series attracts teens with a wide variety of interests. Last summer, I went to a pop-up with a makeup artist, and she taught us all about makeup, as well as a pop-up about how to market yourself appropriately on social media for the future and future jobs and things like that, which was super fun.
Man, I wish I had something like that in high school.
Yes. Can I volunteer for the testing of the cake decorating? Can I get involved with that somehow?
One of the most wonderful things about this, as you said that, Ebo, is that, as I mentioned before, we've had 142 adults in our community that have taken their time. They have wisdom to share. They have excitement about things that they do, either as a hobby or a career, but they don't have the avenue to share that with teens easily, right? You can't just show up at a high school and go, hey, I'd like to talk to some teens. They're going to like kick you out.
Right? Yeah.
But we have, you know, what Thrive is all about is creating kind of the framework where professionals can come and give back to teens in a meaningful way. And the reason the summer pop-ups have been so successful is that although we have 75 or 80 teens show up in one night, they then break off into small groups of 6 to 10 to do a ukulele class or something that all the teens are automatically have a common interest. So they bond immediately over a common interest, and they're led by an adult that's positive and passionate about the interest. Mm. And so it's just been growing and growing. So Kendall's going to tell a little bit about how we're going to try to handle it this summer.
Great.
So obviously this year, in light of the current COVID-19 pandemic and event restrictions for larger groups, we've revamped our pop-ups, and we're going to be offering 8 virtual pop-ups still on Tuesdays in June. And I heard a rumor that Rocky and Larry from Lake
Bryson. Wow.
The rumor is confirmed.
Larry, is that true?
I'd love for that to happen.
I saw the email.
I'm not sure Rocky did, but we're working on it.
Now, and this will be done virtual. It's not going to be, you can't do it one-on-one or one-on-50.
You can't do it live.
We're actually going to do like Zoom calls like we're doing now with a little live lesson on whatever activity teens are choosing. And then if we are able to hold any in-person events, we're going to hold one in downtown Claremont on July 28th. And then we are going to hold one in the city of Groveland on August 4th. And
what would those be? What would those be?
There would be 5 or 6 different activities going on.
Oh, at the same time?
At each one.
Downtown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the teens will pick whatever they want to do. We'll have a variety of different things to try to cater towards different interests that teens have. And we're just hoping that this format will allow us to continue to serve the community, in, you know, even through a situation like this. And honestly, maybe even expand our reach because we're taking down that barrier of transportation because people can do it from their own homes. So we hope to still, you know, expand our reach to the community and help some teens find some new hobbies or make some new connections in this community.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think it, you know, the Zoom conference, I think it's the way now, like people are getting used to it. And I think in a lot of ways, people are enjoying it almost better. Like you said, it removes a lot of obstacles for people that might not be able to get there, but they can still be part of something wonderful.
And what we're excited about is that we'll be able to actually record the pop-ups and put them on our YouTube channel so that anybody could go back and watch those later. So it's great exposure for those business leaders that are leading the pop-ups as well.
Do we need more exposure?
You can never have too much exposure, right?
That's true.
Please, please.
Yeah.
Well, this is exciting.
Yeah. So we've, as you can see, Larry, we have a lot going on, and but our program schedule is growing, and we, you know, we welcome teens to try us out this summer.
Yeah, no, and I totally understand that. I guess to transition, you know, when we're talking about summer and the future and kind of this change, ever changing world, I kind of do have a question for, you know, any one of the TAC members. I think probably not Kendall, because that's your daughter and she probably has her own answer to this. But for any one of the other TAC members, let's go with, I'm going to pick a random name. Okay. So let's go with Morgan. All right. Morgan, I just want to know, you know, to you, why do you think Thrive is important for students your age, or for students, like-minded students like you, for the future? You know, you think about how the world is changing. You know, we're in this age of technology and social media, and you need new skills to essentially, you know, get to the next level. So how do you think Thrive has helped you to kind of do that?
Right. So I actually found Thrive through a volunteer plug-in we did, I want to say around early 2019, late 2018. So I've been involved in it throughout almost my whole junior year and then my whole senior year. And one thing that Thrive has definitely taught me is just the importance of connections and knowing people and immersing yourself in the real world, and the importance of not only like an academic education, but the importance of learning skills. Like, for example, we talked about the trades in one of the adulting series, and those are things that people who may not want to go to school, they need those skills and those options, because sometimes it gets lost in translation of whether or not college is right for you, and the idea of if you don't go to college, you can't be successful, which is completely not true. So I think Thrive does a great job at providing opportunities and even fun skills. Like, I did the cake decorating and makeup as well, and that was so fun. And I picked up super fun hobbies that I would have never been able to try without Thrive. Mm.
I've got to back up a little bit here. How did you guys find out about this, and what got you involved in it? You know?
Yeah.
Everybody right, except so, Kendall.
Who yeah, everybody know? Except for Kendall.
Or I did this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So originally, actually, my mom found out about it because I'm homeschooled, so I don't go to school, so I don't have like the extracurricular activities, and so it's hard to find like places or volunteer groups that do things that I like want to do in my future, and or skills I won't learn in school. So we found out about Thrive and we decided to try it, and I enjoy it because it teaches things that normally you don't get to learn about, or like I feel like in school, they prepare you for the basics, like the math and science, but they don't really teach you about like getting to know people or certain trades or like in like just business itself. So I feel like Thrive just helps you with talking to other people and like socializing with them and working together. And I enjoy that a lot.
It's awesome.
It's the life skills.
Yeah.
Anybody yes. else?
I joined Thrive also at the volunteer plug-in with Morgan. And it was super helpful for me because I got the opportunity, many opportunities for volunteer hours. I was definitely one of the juniors that was really behind on community service hours that I needed for Bright Futures, for scholarships. So it helped me branch out. I actually got an opportunity to volunteer at the animal shelter, the Lake County Animal Shelter, and I got to play with kittens all day for volunteer hours. So it was super fun. And that's what's positively impacted me most with Thrive, is the volunteer opportunities that it's given me in the community.
Yeah. It's good that youth are wanting to do more than just go to school.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, we just fostered a cat from the Lake County Animal Shelter. So, yes, we fostered for 6 weeks.
Sean, what did you name it? Did it have a name already?
Well, do you want to hear the story?
Yes.
No. Is it a, oh, Sean, tell me a story.
No, I'm not going to tell you the story. No.
It's no, story time.
I can appreciate that because they need help out there at the animal shelter. Yeah. So, yeah, that was...
It's a great place.
It was a good opportunity.
And it's there's not a lot of... not every nonprofit will take teen volunteers. So one of the things that we've been focusing on is trying to find nonprofits that will accept teen volunteers and be that connection point to put them together.
Okay, have we come to that part in the program when we're going to take another break?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously we are, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments with more on Thrive here on Lake Rising. And we have a new sponsor, you know. It's Collage Travel Radio.
Collage Travel Radio.
I love it. I flip to it and I absolutely love it. It's like my new station.
Let Collage Travel Radio help you sail through life.
Just left work and I listened to it on my way to work this morning. I couldn't wait to get off work so I could listen to it again.
Hello, I just wanted to thank you guys for all the great music you played today.
Your destination is Collage Travel Radio.
All right, usually at this time we do a little trivia, and yeah. Do we have time to do a little trivia?
Larry, we always have time for trivia.
We have to do the trivia, yeah.
But are we including the students too, or is it just?
I think it's us versus the students, right?
Yeah, let's see if that works.
Let's do it. So we'll play them.
Let's see how intelligent the students are.
Yeah, I would put every dollar I have on them.
Yeah,
I would.
Yes.
Are you guys up for it?
You up for a little trivia?
All right. These are just really rotten questions that don't mean much. Okay. What is the most dense populated state in the United States?
Dense.
The densest
densely,
population.
Most densely populated.
Is it Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, or New Jersey?
All right. So who do we just ring in, or are we going to let the students?
Well, maybe they have to come up with an answer together. Right? Is that what we want to do?
Well, they're all muted, so they can't talk to each other.
Oh, really? That's terrible. Yeah, well, that's not right. That seems like we might win, though, actually.
I think we've got them under control.
Yes, that's the way we can control this. Yeah. But wait a minute. I don't have control of it either. So.
Yeah. Blame Alicia.
All right. Does anybody in the student section have a guess?
Maybe Rhode Island? I'm not sure. I'm not really, good on the... State.
Yeah, geography, right. So what were the four again, Larry? Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey.
And Massachusetts.
I'm going to go with Rhode Island.
And Logan went with Rhode Island too, right?
Yeah. I'm going to go with...
Yes.
I'm going to go with Massachusetts.
Wow. Okay. Everybody...
I'm in Massachusetts.
Yes, what? Yes. What?
Massachusetts,
I'm
for sure.
I'm guessing Massachusetts.
All right.
Sean, how about you?
I'm tempted to go with Rhode Island, which has the longest name of all states.
Yes.
Okay, somebody said New Jersey.
But I'm going to go with New Jersey.
Okay.
I don't know.
Why did he go with New Jersey all of a sudden?
New Jersey is very agricultural in the South.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Huh. Cherries, right?
Yeah,
I don't really know.
And casinos too. Well, maybe.
Okay.
Well, the answer to that question: what is the most densely populated state in the United States? It wasn't Rhode Island.
Ooh.
It wasn't Connecticut.
Yeah. Huh.
It wasn't Massachusetts.
Wow, New Jersey.
It would be New Jersey.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yes. Come on. Man.
So which student named New Jersey?
I believe it was Sherry. Oh.
Well, I'm not a student, but I'm
Alicia. Are you that doesn't count.
Are you guys quick on Google? Is that what's happening here?
No.
All right. Okay, here's another one of these traveling type. Which West Coast city was originally named New York? West Coast city named New York. Was it Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon?
I know this one.
Los Angeles, California, or San Francisco? And we'll go around the room here in the studio and find out if anybody here knows the answer. The answer from Rocky would be?
I'm going to completely guess here. I'm going to say it would have been San Francisco.
It would have been San Francisco. And Evo says?
I'm agreeing with Rocky. It's got to be San Fran.
And Sean, who's always looking over my shoulder, who knows the answers.
Sean cheats nonstop.
No, I don't.
Yeah. He does.
He's sitting behind me. I'm sorry, we don't have the wide-angle lens to see everybody here.
I'm waving now.
And so what they is, can see. What do you think the answer? What do you think the answer is, Sean?
I want to say Portland, but Portland was named after Portland, Maine.
Yes.
So I'm going with Seattle.
Okay. So does anybody on the, would that be the West Coast I'm looking at here? The
I'm not sure. Yeah.
The studio side. And, you know, we're in the West Wing here. So you guys are in the, does anybody have an idea student wise? I've never seen
San Francisco.
Okay.
San Francisco.
I saw blank faces there.
Well, we all got it wrong because Sean cheats and he.
What?
The correct answer would not be Portland, Oregon, Los Angeles, or San Francisco. The correct answer would be Seattle, Washington.
The plot thickens.
And who got that right?
Sean got it right. It's amazing. It's amazing.
But it was not because I'm sitting behind Larry.
No, because I do have the answers in small print,
finally. And you know I can't read small print. I finally have hit the age where I've got, from this distance I probably could, but I'm not.
Hmm.
All right, so.
Go ahead.
All right. Wow, this is, okay, we'll do it. This is kind of a modern day question. Which United States president preserved the most land? Would it have been John F. Kennedy, Theodore Roosevelt, Jimmy Carter, or Mr. Obama, Barack Obama?
I'm going to answer this first. I'm actually going to go with Obama. I don't think it was by much, but I think it was Obama.
Wow. It was either Obama or Teddy, but I think it was Teddy.
It might be Teddy.
It was Roosevelt.
You're saying Theodore. Yep. Yes,
Theodore. He's my favorite president, by the way.
Yes. Now, you kids don't remember any of these presidents, I'm sure.
Well, they remember President Obama.
They know, they know Obama.
So, which president preserved, you know, made land for the government and for parks and things like that?
Was it
John F. Kennedy, Theodore Roosevelt, Jimmy Carter, who's got some peanuts, and Barack Obama? Does anybody have a guess on the?
I know which one it is.
The peanut gallery.
I'm gonna say John F. Kennedy.
Okay,
yeah, I heard Roosevelt and I heard of Kennedy.
Roosevelt.
Sherry is really down on Roosevelt. Roosevelt.
Sherry.
Roosevelt.
Sherry and I we've guessed the same answer twice. We'll see if we've been wrong twice.
Well, the correct answer was not John F. Kennedy. Was not Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh.
Was not do nothing Carter.
I knew it.
It was Barack Obama.
I had a feeling after that.
I didn't know that.
After the Keystone and all that other stuff, I was like,
man,
it's got to be.
Was Roosevelt the one who created the Conservation Corps?
He did.
National Park?
Yep, he did. And he also created the, what's the famous
Yosemite?
It's a conservation club. What, Sierra something?
Sierra Club. Sierra Club was with Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt left an enormous legacy of conservation with more than 230 million acres. But Barack Obama is credited with protecting more land than any president before him. He protected 553.5 million acres of land. So he
wins.
Wow, that is a lot of land.
Well, agree to disagree. I mean,
it's a little difference there.
Well, this has been an exciting show, and we thank everybody for being here. Can everybody say goodbye at once?
Before we say goodbye, can I just?
Would you please?
I just want to express. You just want me to shut up, don't you?
No, I
just want to say thank you all very much for coming on the show. But here's a way that you can help. Thrive, and you can go to the Thrive website. I am careful, obviously, in who you donate to and what organizations you're a part of. Everybody should be that way. But Thrive is something that I have chosen to personally give and donate money to now on a yearly basis. And I encourage those out there in the community to make that donation, support Thrive.
You do that?
You'd go to the website. I'm sure Sherry will have all kinds of details about how, and Elisa will have all kinds of details on how to do that. But
one way that would be really fantastic is we are going to offer, in light of the pandemic, all of our summer pop-ups for free this summer. We normally charge a $10 fee. So that's about $3,000 that we're kind of absorbing. So we're looking to community members that might want to sponsor a student for $25 in the program. And right on our website, you can hit the donate button on the homepage, and there's a sponsor a teen for $25. It's pretty easy. That would be a That'd be one wonderful way. Or you could just follow us on Facebook. That'd be great too.
You know, it's really weird because Sherry, Sean was saying right before we got on air that he was going to sponsor $3,000 worth this summer. It's amazing.
Where is Sean on the show? What other Sean is on the show? Well, I will say this.
Just community members that want to support our mission and allow us to grow this programming. We are preventative, so it's not very expensive, but we can have a huge impact on teens.
Now, is this a 501c3?
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it is tax deductible.
It is
tax deductible charitable donations.
Even though we don't know what taxes are now.
Yes. And let me just repeat again. It's really worth it to me. This was when I heard Sherry's story, and now that I see what they do, what Thrive does, I don't see this in very, very many places, if at all, other communities. And so this is something that we like to brag about that we have in our community right here in Lake County is Thrive. It's those life skills, the communication skills, the experience, the stuff that you don't get in school anymore. And everybody talks about how kids need that more. Well, this is it. This is Thrive in action on the ground doing it. And that's why it's worth making donations to and supporting and or doing, you know, whatever. Get out there to support them. Get kids involved. So I just wanted to say that. And again, you can do that. Check out their website as well.
Mm. Great. And you can check out Lake Rising website as well.
Yeah, and we should have a link up to their website and all their information too.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We'll make, since Ryan's not here, we're going to volunteer Ryan to put up all kinds of information about Thrive on the lakerising.com website.
Yep. Would you take a screenshot of the of everybody that's on so we can mm-hmm. post that as well? That would be a great picture to put up for both of us.
Yes.
So we can do that. All right, I guess.
All right, smile, everybody.
Sorry.
I like that smile, Larry.
Sean had the best smile I've ever seen.
Thank you, Larry.
Yes, yes. All right, so until next week.
I'm Rocky DeStefano, and I thank you for listening to our show.
I'm Evo Insua, and I can't wait for next week.
And I'm Sean Parks. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And Lake County is on the rise.